The Watch is the latest and the greatest in pop culture from best friends Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald. Join them as they discuss TV, movies, music, and much more. Check out The Watch on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Why don't you bend on over and let me show you the 50 states.
Please.
We got New Jersey.
Oh.
New York. Everything's bigger in Texas. Don't you forget about Florida now, baby.
Oh, what the?
We're gonna go nice and long and deep.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman, and I'm just really hoping that no one demonsterizes my character today because I'm worried. I'm joined by Amelia Wedemeyer, the host of No Rose All Thorn. Hello, Amelia.
Please
don't
Juliette.
Don't demonsterize me.
I'm not going to do that to you. I would not do that to you. Don't worry.
We have to talk about Thomas, who was demonsterized. I just want to be clear. That's not a word that I've heard before. Have you ever heard that before?
I don't think so, but I don't know. Maybe in the dark recesses of my mind I can find it somewhere, but I don't think so.
What was he trying to say? Like, what was that word? Like, what did he think? Denigrate?
Maybe. Well, I don't even know. Who knows? I think he was caught up in the moment, and you kind of, like, you know, you'll mix words around when you're feeling vulnerable and stuff. I get it. I've been there. Done
sure,
that.
Sure. Yes, you know? Of course. Yeah. We've all been there. But demonsterized, just not a word. Just wanted to start there. We're on talking about Thomas. We'll keep going down that train. I just want to say I'm really concerned about Greg after this episode. I've got a lot of doubts and a lot we need to dig into.
Sure.
I'm wondering if anyone knows that Andrew S. is actually not British. There's just a lot to dig into. Overall, weird episode. Oh, plus Blake. Oh, my God, Blake.
Oh, goodness.
Amelia hates Blake. I can't wait to talk about that. I keep wanting to call him Blaine, but his name is Blake. We'll get into all of it. Let's get back to Thomas. Now, this is a pro-Thomas podcast. Let's just start from there. Amelia, yeah. Mm-hmm. Make the case for Thomas.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, and I also looked up, according to Urban Dictionary, demonstratize is a thing. It's to make a demonstration out of someone by utterly embarrassing them.
Interesting. So I'm wrong. Okay, Thomas, I apologize. was he saying demonstratize or demonstratize?
I don't know. At this point, I'm just going to, you know what? I feel bad for the guy that he can have either or.
I'm an asshole. I'm making fun of his vocabulary.
No, it's okay. I just feel like, here's the thing. The thing is, that was a bold move, I think, to come out and say, yeah, I didn't really come on this show for the right reasons in the beginning. And to admit that, because they asked him point blank, they were like, so in the beginning, did it ever cross your mind that you could be the Bachelor? Did you come into this thing thinking, hey, I could be the Bachelor? And he was like, yeah, that was a thought that crossed my mind. And here's the thing. If you aren't thinking that, who are you?
Seriously, are you familiar with the show if you aren't thinking that?
Truly, did your mom just submit you because she's a huge fan? Or what's going on? If you don't think that, you're almost too naive and I don't want you on this show.
Yeah, it's like, that's your problem. If you don't know that
exactly.
You could be the Bachelor, that's your problem. Also, I've hard turned on Greg. I'm positive Greg wants to be the Bachelor.
Oh, God.
Positive. However,
wow.
I want to talk about who we think the frontrunners are later. But I agree. Thomas was just being a regular guy. Thomas was like doing what Andrew S. said he wanted, which was to like act like he met you at a bar. And like, if you meet someone and you have like, and you have like a surprising connection, I feel like that's actually when you're more honest. Cause you're not like trying to like play any games. You're just like,
totally,
you know, you play it straight because you're like, oh, there's something here. You don't need to question it. And that's what Thomas was doing. He was so confident in what was going on with Katie that he was like, yeah, I'll tell you what I was thinking. And here's where I am now.
Exactly. And I think in his mind, and in my mind too, I was like, oh, okay, that's a bold statement to make, but you want to be 100% honest. And you know what? I commend you on that because no one else is going to be like that. Like, you know, everyone else is thinking it, but they're not going to go out and say it. So in a way, I think it was a little foolish to say that because these men, wow, they jumped on him just like they jumped on Carl, which I'm not saying I don't like Carl, but the thing is like, damn.
I'm definitely more Team Thomas than I was Team Carl.
Me too. We do.
I like Thomas. First of all, Callie and I have discussed this a lot. Thomas's girth, just as a human, this week was incredibly on display. He was like too big for the hallways he was walking through. I was like, holy shit, this is a tall man. He looked really great in that like dark pink and a coral colored jacket. I don't know. I was into it. I was really into it.
He's handsome. He's like probably the most handsome guy there, or was, I guess.
Yeah. I like Thomas. I was sort of like, I didn't really care about him. But now that everyone's turned against him, I'm just like, justice for Thomas. All he did was be authentic. And I liked when he was like, I'll sign something to say that the only thing keeping me going is an opportunity with you. I was like, okay, sure. Cool. Let's get a notary public in the building to help you out with that. It's like a really, really kind offer. What did you think about Andrew S.'s stance that they should not tell Katie about this as to not waste any time?
Honestly, I kind of agreed with Andrew S. because it's like, okay, she'll find out regardless. I really believe that. And again, it's more like drama. And the thing is, I think they took that statement that I recently said about like, are you here to be the bachelor? And he's like, that's one of my first thoughts. They took it and made it into like, this is what Thomas said. He said that he was only here to be the bachelor, and they twisted the words around to fit their narrative. And so I was just like, oh my God. So I agree with Andrew S. So
plus Thomas answered a question. He didn't even bring up like, oh, if this doesn't work out, maybe I can be the bachelor. Or like, oh, I hope it doesn't work out. He answered a question. He was just being honest. Like, sorry, he took some truth serum. What do you want from the man?
Well, exactly. And what I found interesting, so one of the main guys who was really on this campaign against Thomas was Trey. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting is that he twisted Thomas's words and twisted the situation, I think. And in the episode, there's a moment when they're on the group date and they're doing the body hair pulling and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I quote, I've never had my cheeks out with another man in my life. I don't plan on doing that again. And that could be construed as casual homophobia, but I don't think he meant for it to like that be the intent.
Yeah.
But it just shows that like your words can get easily manipulated to make it seem a certain way. And I don't think he meant it for it to be that way, but it definitely could be taken that way.
Yeah, you could construe it that way. But you also could construe it that he's not comfortable being, you know, having his bum exposed with other men. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is also fine.
But again, I think it goes back to like, it's so easy to make someone out a certain way.
You can hear what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just thought that then everyone sort of, it was funny how like we've seen them like come together to like oust people, now two people essentially.
Yes.
But then at the same time, we got Andrew S. just being like, don't bring her into it. Let's use the time for ourselves. Then we got Aaron yelling, be respectful. Be respectful.
Aaron is insane.
I'm all in on Aaron.
Oh, no. With his global warming analogy.
The main thing is I find him very handsome. So I'm like, whatever you want, Aaron. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Something about him I just find cute.
Hmm. Okay.
Him and Justin, I find very handsome.
Oh, Justin's really cute. Yeah, really cute.
Yeah. Now that hot Kyle's gone, I have to, you know, direct my attention elsewhere.
Aren't you so upset that hot Kyle only lasted two episodes?
He spoke like what, one time and maybe like, in the bloopers? Poor hot Kyle, too hot for his own good.
Anyway,
we got Andrew S. saying leave her out of it. We got Aaron advocating for respect. We got Trey using his time to talk about Thomas. And then all the other guys like fall somewhere in between. But it's just funny because like this is now such a defined trope of the show that like there's like different factions. It's no longer just a binary of like, is he here for the right reasons or not? But yeah. Like at the same time, let's retire the storyline. Everyone comes on the show thinking they could be the lead. Literally everyone.
You kind of have to go into it thinking like that. I mean, it's smart. And again, like I know Katie felt the same way probably, you know?
Sure. She's like, oh, I have no chemistry with Matt. I'm just here for a good time and I'm going to tell him what's up. And then here she is. She's the freaking bachelorette.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, if you didn't feel that way, then why are you the bachelorette? That's the thing. You know what I mean? You're going to take opportunities and there's nothing wrong with that. And I get that. And I just, it's just weird to me that they are using like their collective bargaining skills to rally against certain guys to get them out. And I think that's something Andrew Gritadaro brought up in our little Bachelor Slack.
Yeah.
And it like it's the first time that it's really worked for against multiple guys, which is kind of amazing. And also it's interesting to me that they're doing this where they're like kind of targeting people and like almost bully. You could argue there's bullying going on here. And Katie's the anti-bullying bachelorette.
I know. I thought what she did to Thomas at the end was really cold. I'm
that
like,
was so crazy. Yeah.
So you think that she's going to give Thomas the rose, and then she gives this little speech.
You told me things I wanted to hear, but what I learned about you tonight is you're selfish, unkind, and a liar. Your bachelor audition ends tonight. So get out.
That's like kind of mean. I don't know. Like, did she have to embarrass him like that? He didn't do anything so bad. Like, justice for Thomas.
I agree. And I watched that and I was like, damn, that is, I mean, like, it was a fun little moment and I get that. And I'm sure, and I don't mean to say like she's thinking, you know, in long term on this, but I mean, you know, we never know with these people. The thing is like, that's going to make a great clip online. Like, and you're going to have random people rallying around you like you're what a feminist kind of thing. And
it's sort of like Claire's because I didn't settle for men like that.
Exactly.
Same kind of moment, but didn't have the same pizzazz. It also was just really staged. Like, it seems like Katie has a lot of tension over what she thinks she wants versus what she thinks she should do. I feel like that keeps coming up, like as it relates to Blake, as it relates to getting rid of these people. I do wonder if we're seeing those seams a little bit more because of the lack of Chris Harrison. Because I feel like if they had Chris Harrison, there's someone who's like used to kind of finessing those situations to just be like, Katie, like, you know, it's up to you. Or Katie, I heard you're having a hard day. Like, do you want to talk? Like,
right.
Caitlin and Tayshia are way more like co-conspirators and less like,
yeah. Oh,
like when Caitlin was talking about Thomas and she was like, he's probably scheming. I was like, Caitlin, you know he's not. You know that Thomas is not scheming right now. So like, why are you egging this on?
Oh my God. No, they're those annoying girlfriends that you have who are just like, yeah,
they
you're right.
You
he
advice.
Does suck. Exactly. And I mean, nothing against Caitlin and Tayshia. They're just not like the best hosts, I guess. I don't know. They're not they're fine hosts. I think they're just not good advice givers.
There's a role for them on the show. It is actually kind of fun having these alums be like, it's kind of the opposite of Top Chef where I'm sick of the alums, but on this, yeah, I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, they're speaking from their own advice. It's kind of cool for them to be like this, you know, also to kind of like help Katie navigate the system. But we still need a host, like, just to be clear. And
right.
We need a face of the franchise. Like, we need to know, like, who, I said this a few weeks ago, like, who is a sovereign of Bachelor Nation? You know, they're just a figurehead. Right. Got no power. They're no Boris Johnson. They're more Queen Elizabeth. But, like, We need that back, and it's not Caitlin or Tayshia. And like I said, there's a role for them, and I'm kind of enjoying them, but I like seeing their outfits. But like, we need, I think Katie's like kind of, some of this stuff is playing out in front of the camera more than it might have because there's not a lot of like finessing it backstage or off camera where it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do with Thomas or whatever. Or like, oh, this is what we're going to do with Blake. It's just like, it's lost some of its moves. It's sort of like The Bachelor lost its mojo by losing its host.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I remember there were several times, I think it happened with Carl, where like Katie just goes off crying and it's like, okay, so is no one going to come and comfort her? Like, what? I don't, okay. And she had to like go out and seek.
That's my top complaint about Greg. Put your fucking arm around her, Greg. She's crying. She's talking about her dead dad. Greg, why don't you touch her? I just want, we got to sidetrack. We got to go talk about Greg because I've got some strong opinions.
Please.
Since I found out Greg took acting lessons, I've been suspicious of him.
Wait. What?
Oh yes, on his Instagram, Greg? He's like the William Esper School. It's like he like took acting lessons.
Okay.
So okay. Who's here for the wrong reasons now, Greg?
Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, so I've been suspicious of Greg. And then okay. He gets that first one-on-one. He doesn't comfort her when she's like talking about her father. Like he doesn't touch her. Like they're on a date. It's just the two of them. She's opening mm-hmm. up. She's holding back tears. You don't need to like, I don't know, like caress her, but like maybe just like put your arm around her, like touch her shoulder. Be like, are you okay? Like, I don't know. Just maybe I'm just hypersensitive. I'm just like, show me that you actually care. But I just thought it was really weird. You guys are alone in a field. Just fucking touch her.
That is, then, I didn't even notice that. So this is okay.
And then there was another time where she's upset about Carl perhaps. And like, he mm-hmm. went to talk to her and he was like, I just want you to know I'm here for you. Like, and again, he didn't like really get close to her. There's no chemistry there. And then Greg's performance on the group date, I will not soon forget. I mean, it was crazy in two ways. I'm sorry, I'm monologuing. I just feel really strongly about
no,
this.
No, please. I want more.
Number one, Greg talking into quote unquote Katie's ear with like a Southern accent and saying bend over and starting to talk about states. What was that?
Okay, so I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I talked about it with Dylan Berkey, who produces the No Rose Off Thorn videos. And he said that that's actually part of a bit from the movie Horrible Bosses. So there, and I watched the scene. So the scene is like Jason Sudeikis and
oh my God,
Jason
Greg,
Bateman.
Greg so would liken himself to Jason Sudeikis.
Yes!
Carry on. Okay.
And so they're in like one of the bosses' homes or whatever. And
is it Jennifer Aniston?
I think it was Colin Farrell's maybe.
I don't think Horrible Bosses will stand the test of time, just to be clear, but carry on.
You never know. Maybe
in the
now
Me Too
with this.
Era, I don't think Horrible Bosses is going to cut it.
Maybe not. I forgot about that.
So just
clip.
another knock against Greg. Carry on. Please, please keep explaining the scene.
So, and they see a picture of like one of the boss's wives and Jason Sudeikis' character goes, oh, I'd like to bend her over and show her all 50 of the states. And Jason Bateman's character is like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's a thing. It's totally a thing. And that's like the end of the scene. Like there's no, oh, Florida and Massachusetts. It's just like him referencing.
Everything's
like,
bigger in Texas.
Yeah, exactly. None of that.
I was just so appalled. And I have a few things. It was super weird. Number two, like, do they talk about Horrible Bosses or like, are we, was Katie just supposed to know?
I think we were all supposed to know. And I had no idea until Dylan told me. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely a boy thing. I bet the other boys knew and like thought it'd be funny. And they're like, oh, what a great movie. But like, no. number two, no creativity. If he's just like, I'm going to show you all 50 states. Everything's bigger than Texas. No creativity.
Yeah. Also, you're stealing it from a movie. You didn't even think of that on your own.
And then it just like keeps going in a really unfunny way. And then he thought he did a really good job. And that was really upsetting. He was like high-fiving. He just looked so stupid. I will say I liked his all-black outfit. He looked cute.
Oh, okay.
And then
yeah.
At the end with the fake giant engagement ring, he actually says, I love you. He rushed into I love you. And Katie's like, I'm going to choose to believe it was real, which is like, I guess funny and cute if you're into him. You're like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. He said I love you. But he's just rushing into it. And now I am positive Greg is not here for the right reasons. He's just trying to get that in. And,
I get that.
And I'm just saying, I think we need to bring a closer eye to Greg, who she's clearly really into, even though I don't see the chemistry.
Jed. Oh, my God. See, I already have Jed on my mind because that's who Greg reminds me of. He reminds me of Jed a little bit.
Another faker. Another fraud.
Another faker.
Phony.
Another
scammer.
Another grifter. Scammer.
Seriously.
Jed the scammer. Greg the grifter. Honestly, there's just something about him that is just with. Okay. And I know I was telling people about like his gift to Katie the first night with the little macaroni necklace, which was like, get that out of my face. But like, and I know people are going to hate me for saying that, but I don't fucking care. But it's just like, how cute. How that's just like, it just plays into the whole like women want a baby. And here, this is my niece's stupid spaghetti pasta necklace she made. It's just like a lot of it is just so fake to me. It's so fake and forced.
I don't care for Greg. I'm positive he wants to be the bachelor. He's my number one. He's off the chain on the thirst record. Like he's just so thirsty.
Agreed. And especially now that I know he took acting classes.
Yes,
are you kidding
I know.
Me?
It's the cardinal sin of going on the bachelor. You may not
Seriously.
Take acting classes.
No
not
acting
okay.
classes. No IMDb credits. Come on.
I can't. It's just too much. And then I just think that She seems really into him, though. Like, I would say,
yes,
she was. I mean, she said that she was like falling for him, right? And then they had their one-on-one or
yes,
cocktail party. Yeah, and she's really into him. I'm worried for her judgment.
I mean, not only that, like, she gave him the first impression rose. She gave him the first one-on-one date. Those two back to back, I feel like that's unheard of.
I know.
And she also mentioned when he came in, she was like, "He looks like my ex-boyfriend." Which
I know. Everyone's got a type. That's just not true. But Katie seems like she does.
I think she does. So
I don't know. I'm just not into Greg. I was appalled by his whole performance. But anyway, I took us far away from Thomas. Let's go back to Thomas for a second. Put a bow on it. So she harshly rejects him. And then that's just kind of it. There's no like exit interview with Thomas. He doesn't get to have the final word. Why do they get rid of the exit interviews? Show me a tearful goodbye. Show me an angry man in a limo. Like, what's going on here?
That's a great question. I don't know. But I commend Thomas for not being like, "You're a bitch," or like turning to the other guys and going like, "Screw you," or something. And he just like, I think he was in shock and then just
kind of walked out. Yeah, he thought he was getting a rose. He should have gotten one. I have a feeling we'll be seeing more of Thomas in the future, perhaps this summer down Mexico way.
Oh, I would not be opposed to that.
Ooh la la. Yeah, hopefully. Apparently there's like so many people in Paradise that like people are being forced. Just like they like come and go really quickly, but we'll find out. There's so many Paradise rumors out on the streets.
Interesting.
Before we move on from the group date, I have a few more things we need to cover on that. Though this was, I thought, like, not a good episode, some of the trolling by the producers in the group date, I just absolutely loved. Making these green juice 5 a.m. wake up guys have 4,000 calories of Twinkies is so funny. Mike being so upset that he had to eat all of it was so funny to me.
That was funny. That was really funny. I enjoyed that. Stuffing his face. Yeah.
And it also made me think that Mike should be on Survivor for some reason. Actually, I could see this guy making it like 3 or 4 weeks, good at challenges at the beginning, but doesn't make it to the merge.
Sure.
There's a lot of Christian-leaning people on Survivor.
That's just true. Mark Burnett, yeah.
Yes, Mark Burnett, among many others. I just feel like he would be a really good Survivor player. So, starting out there.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Huh.
Just something to think about. The other, like, fat foods that they came up with, like fettuccine alfredo.
I know, I love that.
And the chocolate cake. I was like, cool, all my favorite foods are here. Chocolate cake, pasta, and Twinkies. I'm good to go.
That fettuccine looked good. I was like, damn, serve me up some, please.
Yes, seriously. And then what'd you think about the waxing?
I mean, whatever. Sure. It's really, I understand you play it up, blah, 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 blah. But it's just like, it's such like an old, like, you know, 40-year-old virgin kind of funny thing. I don't know.
That movie's like 16 years old. Haven't we moved on to other gags?
Exactly. Well, and what interested me is that they took a lot of the dares from the Tayshia group date. And it was just like, you're really not going to think of any new stuff?
You're literally going to take everything from that
other date, right?
That was pretty weird. I feel like they just really picked the wrong location here. I don't know. It seems awful. My sources say it's significantly worse than both La Quinta and Nemecolon.
Really? That's interesting. Okay. Well, yikes.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? You know, are you drained or are you bursting with energy? Are you looking forward to hanging out with your friends or would you rather just stay at home? Or maybe you are not enforcing your boundaries. I'm not sure, but it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bachelorparty today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bachelorparty. All right, let's talk about Andrew S. We talked about him a little bit, but Andrew S., when he was talking into Katie's quote-unquote ear, went hard with the British accent.
He did.
And Katie was like, Andrew has like this really cute British accent. And they talk about him like that's how he actually talks.
Yeah.
Does Katie know that's not real? And like, if so, why does she find this cute? I like Andrew S., but I'm just like, I'm ready to move on from your fake Bridgerton voice.
It's when he did it night one, it was like, I could see like that. I can hear through his, like the real accent. I was like, that's not, that's a bad British accent. I don't know. She seems to like it. I guess, whatever. I really like Andrew S., so I'm like willing to be okay with it, but it is like,
I like him too.
It's a little tiring.
I did like that he was like, let's not bring it up to her. Let's just like all focus on ourselves. I thought that was actually kind of a good point because all of these relationships happen in parallel silos anyway, right? So like,
yeah, exactly.
Why invite one of these other guys into it? Like, why wreck your time by being like, okay, let's talk about Thomas now? I actually thought that was a good point, even if she quote unquote deserves to know.
Yeah. And again, I think they're kind of messing with her and they're doing it as a group, which is kind of messed up. And again, they're twisting what was really said. And I don't think, and they didn't bring any nuance to the situation.
Yeah.
And what bothers me too is that then when Andrew S. says, I disagree, I don't think we necessarily need to bring this up to her, Trey goes, okay, so you're willing to let her find out on her own and you're putting in her in a bad position? I can't believe, like, you're a bad person for doing that. And I was like,
I know.
What
I don't,
the hell?
I don't like Trey. I don't like Trey. Trey's clearly has no way of making this work. Yes.
Yeah, so yeah.
So he's just going for the drama, which is a good strategy. It'll get you to paradise.
And I think a lot of these guys kind of feel the same way. They're threatened enough that they're like, okay, yeah, sure.
It seems like her connection with Greg is really obvious.
Yes.
So yeah. Maybe they feel threatened by that.
I don't know.
She does seem to like Michael a lot too. Michael.
Oh.
Michael's letting the beard grow in. And Michael, that's a good decision. He looks so much better.
Yes, he does. I love Michael. I think Michael.
He's
Michael
really sweet.
Is so sweet. Michael and Andrew S., my two faves. I love them.
They would both be great bachelors. I'm ready for another dad bachelor.
Why not?
Jason Mesnick's season was great, and Michael seems like a really thoughtful guy. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for another dad bachelor, and also he's older. I'm very much on the record of wanting older bachelor and bachelorette. So
into that,
I'm for it. I just feel like Michael would never waste his time with this Thomas situation. He wouldn't care about Thomas. He wouldn't be threatened. And that's why he's not in this drama, because he just doesn't care.
Exactly. We get one shot of him being like, okay, and then moving on.
Yeah,
I
seriously.
Know.
He's like barely in it. He's just like, he's doing him.
And which is smart, which is really smart. And I think he doesn't need to rely on that. Whereas a lot of the, no offense, but nobodies kind of need to rely on that to stay another week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. On topic of nobodies, let's talk about Blake. So.
Oh my God.
Okay, Blake arrived. Tayshia comes by to tell her that someone from her past has come and she won't tell her who it is. Why do you think that Tayshia doesn't tell Katie who it is?
I mean, I guess I believe Tayshia when she was like, I just want you to go out there and not have any, you know, let me color the situation. But the thing is like, you can just tell her what's up. You don't have to say like, this guy is a really bad guy or like, this guy's a really good guy or something. It's just,
yeah, it's like Blake's here. You might remember him.
Right, exactly. But she says like, she might like make Katie feel a certain way about him if she reveals it, which is doesn't really, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't really make sense because she's going to find out who it is in a matter of like, you know, minutes regardless. So
may I share a conspiracy theory?
Yes, please.
I think this timeline is really off and I think that they had to do some reshoots. So I feel like Tayshia and Katie may have shot that scene like after the fact and she already knew who it was or something like that. Cause it was such a weird scene.
Sure.
That just sort of was like, why are they doing this? And I feel like they needed to introduce it in some way. And it was done. It was like a pickup that was done later on in the season because
wow.
I know that Blake got there really early on. Like he didn't arrive like week four. I mean, obviously he had to like quarantine and stuff, but I know that he was there pretty early. And so I think there's a lot of strange timeline stuff happening here. And I think that like maybe she did go to Blake to do that scene at the same time that Thomas left. Maybe she put the dress back on. I don't know, but I think there's like a lot of like quote unquote retconning happening, as they say in the MCU, because that Tayshia scene just made no sense. There's no reason to not tell her who it is.
Yeah.
She was going to find out. And then I'm just like, did maybe Katie not, could she not fake that she didn't know who it was or she couldn't fake her reaction? I really don't know. But I also just thought that was so strange. It was totally out of context. And
that's true.
And I think the timeline stuff is just really weird this time.
There's always timeline issues on this freaking show. Like even like last Bachelorette where it's like, we don't even know. We don't even know when they came in, when Tayshia actually came in. Yeah, exactly.
We have no idea how long they've actually, also because they're not traveling, you'd lose track of time. So you're
that's
just like,
true.
It's like, have you been here for 4 days or 4 weeks? Like who the fuck knows?
Exactly. You know what? I think that's because if I recall correctly, I remember other times with, you know, Chris Harrison or whoever would come in and say, so-and-so is here, like so-and-so is back, and they announce it to the person. Cause again, like you're saying, why wouldn't you announce it if you're going to see this person in a matter of
minutes?
Super
weird.
That is weird. Yeah.
The other thing is he had a quarantine obviously before he arrived. Right. So like maybe that threw it off or something, but I don't know. I have to say this is the most likable I've ever found Blake.
Okay.
I thought when he answered the door naked, that was really funny.
Oh, I hated that. Okay, interesting. Because it was like, okay, all right, we get it. Like, you can't...
But Blake seems like he sleeps naked to me. Like, I actually... And he looked like he'd been sleeping. So I kind of believe that.
Okay. But you're going to answer the... Throw on a shirt, please.
It's true. You know there's probably going to be a camera there.
Exactly. That's the thing. Exactly. Oh, well, how convenient. You forgot where your shirt was. You know, just like a little too much for me. A little,
counterpoint,
like,
though.
Okay.
If that really was after a rose ceremony, the rose ceremonies end really late. So maybe it was like the middle of the night and Blake had been sleeping.
I get that. But like, throw on a shirt. It does not take that long. It takes 5 seconds.
Less. Definitely takes less than 5 seconds.
Okay. Less than 5 seconds. Yeah, exactly.
I thought their conversation was kind of sweet. But, and I also, one thing I really like was that they admitted they had DM'd. I was like, yes, thank you. They admitted they had spoken. And I love that because Caitlin and Nick never admitted it. Dale and Claire never admitted it. And it's like, yes, thank you, people.
Yeah, well, I just think it's interesting because this is the second Bachelorette that Blake has DM'd.
Well, he's DM happy, I guess.
I mean, I just
like it. I feel like for some reason I like that. I'm just like, again, realistic. This is what creepy guys are like. They DM you.
That is true. I will give you that. Yeah, okay. I get that.
I don't know. I think also, Amelia, we don't understand because we're just like civilians, but like, I think like, you know, people who go on reality TV, especially in The Bachelor, use Instagram as like a dating app and they just DM each other.
Oh, totally. No. And I get that, but I just think, that's so, it's not for me. And also it's like, how convenient, Blake, like you're just DMing everyone out here. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of glad he arrived because like this Thomas, the Carl drama followed by the Thomas drama followed by Greg just being very suspect is just not doing it for me. So I'm happy to have Blake.
Yeah, I get that. But I think it's interesting. People love Greg. Like they love him.
Why?
I don't. Because he has a dead dad too. I don't know.
Greg is like literally a dime a dozen in Murray Hill where he lives. Like, if you all love him, I mean, start going out in the New York City this summer, I guess. You guys will all find a Greg, I promise you. There's nothing good about Greg.
Actually,
he seems fine, but that's the point. He's so plain. He's just like...
He's so plain.
Greg who took acting lessons. Whatever, I'm being mean.
He's...
Who said Buzz Killington this week? Was that Aaron? Someone referred to...
I don't know. I didn't even pick up on that.
I thought that was really funny. Someone referred to someone as being a Buzz Killington. I got to go back and check that, but I'm just looking at my notes and I wrote down Buzz Killington.
That's funny.
A few other notes. They introduced the time-honored Bravo trick of a sepia-colored flashback this week, which I loved. To show Thomas answering the question about if he'd want to be the Bachelor. So thank you for that production flourish. I don't know why they don't do it more on the show. That was wonderful.
Oh my God. That is nice. I love when they recall those moments.
It's a staple of Bravo. I don't know why they don't do it on the Bachelor.
Well, it's funny because, so I've been watching a lot of Survivor, as you know, I'm sure. But they rarely do that too, but they used it on one of the season. Have you ever seen Game Changers?
Of course.
Where Debbie just goes crazy on Brad Culpepper.
Yeah.
And she was like, you said I couldn't do the balance beam. And then they cut to a sepia toned, what's
flashback?
It called? Flashback. Thank you. And he's like, you can do the balance beam. And I was like, what? This is the first time it's ever happened. So like anytime I see one of those, I get really excited because they just don't do it on network reality TV.
Well, this is why I think on both The Bachelor and Survivor, they try to like allow like the psychological drama to become like the drama of record. And so they don't actually have an interest in correcting what people are saying. Whereas with the Housewives or Vanderpump, like the producers are kind of like in on the joke and trying to show you when like Jax is lying or when like Rena says something ridiculous or whatever. But these shows are just like trying to like, they let the drama become the narrative instead of trying to have any facts.
That's true. That is, you're right. You're right. So that's why I love to see it. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
God.
Can I tell you something I learned from Reddit today?
Please.
You know, there's a lot of spoilers out there, so it's very tough, but I went to Reddit nonetheless. Some intrepid Redditors on Bachelor Reddit went through the ProPublica reporting of like who got PPP loans at the beginning of the pandemic.
Sorry.
And there's a lot of people from The Bachelor. Dale apparently got one for his influencing. Tayshia got one. Colton got one for his foundation.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's kind of crazy. I think that Ari got one too.
Oh my, what the? Get out of here.
Yeah,
Tayshia
got 20,000. Like all of these people Ari and Lauren got one for Instagram Husband LLC, which is hilarious.
Oh my God.
Isn't that kind of nuts? I'm wondering if Brian Abasolo got one. I'm wondering if they all like use the same lawyer or like what? I don't know. I didn't know that it was like so easy to apply for a PPP loan when this came up, but
can I start my own little company and get a loan?
Yeah, seriously. Get an LLC. It's too late, Amelia. The pandemic's over. I'm not sure.
Damn it.
Isn't that crazy though?
I mean, it seems right, but yeah, it's like kind of interesting for sure.
Yeah. I just thought
scammers all around, scammers.
Thank you to Bachelor Reddit for posting those pictures. I was very intrigued by that.
They go deep. It's kind of amazing.
Amelia, who's your pick for Bachelor right now?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I really would love to see I sound like a broken record, but like Michael or Andrew S. I think they're both two good guys.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see what happens because we still have a Bachelorette ahead of us. Like who's
going
to be on Michelle's season?
Oh my God. Wow.
So far off.
And then like,
who's
going to
get a redemption in Paradise? Like,
Blake has already signed up for both.
Oh my God. Definitely. Blake is DMing Michelle as we speak.
He literally is. Cause I mean, I don't know how far he's going to make it. It's weird to me because usually they say like, okay, you know what? Thanks. But I'm like, so already getting to know these guys. I don't want you to be here.
Well, that's why I also think he came earlier than they're saying.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Because honestly, yeah, why else would she? Because like, who
if
cares?
She already decided like, oh, I'm into Greg, then why would she do it?
Why would she keep him on? And it will be interesting to see how long he makes it, because I feel like the longer he makes it, the more obvious the real timeline is.
Yes, definitely.
Because what if he was like final two? Oh my, what if he won? Oh my God.
I mean, we can't rule it out. She did seem to like him. She seemed nervous when she was waiting for him at the door, when she was like fidgeting and stuff. So I don't know, Amelia. I think it's definitely possible that she's into him. She
and
seemed
he's
excited
into
when they were talking.
15 more minutes of fame, honestly. That is what I found suspicious too, is like she can just totally, you know, go off on Thomas, but then some guy who like, oh, how convenient. He DM'd you on Instagram. Now he's back for another 15 minutes, you know? And she's like, yeah. Oh, okay, fine, sure. It's just like, that's suspicious.
Yeah, I know. It really is. Was there another date this week that I'm forgetting? There wasn't, right?
I don't think so.
The timeline has been so confusing. Yeah, there's only two dates last week, and then there was this one date this week. And right. Then there was finally the rose ceremony. But it's just like, it's very hard to keep track. It's like one date. Jeez.
Yes, I know. I know. It's weird. Well, I think a lot of the time was devoted to Blake, which is like, get me out of here. I don't want to watch this.
And yet nothing happened with Blake. They just had like two conversations.
Oh,
it was like,
my God.
Just like two, not even dates, like pre-dates.
Literally. They were just like meetings, really. Just like meetings.
A meeting of colleagues, bachelor professionals. Why didn't they invite us?
Serious. I was just like, I don't know. I mean, and it just seemed like when she walked down to meet him, she was like, Blake, like, oh, could it have been anyone else? That, I mean, that's what I got, but I don't know.
Last thing we need to discuss and then we'll wrap for today.
Oh, okay.
Unless you had more, but
no, I mean, I don't think so.
Weird episode. It was like nothing really happened, Andrew S. in his one-on-one cocktail time with Katie, they had quote unquote Taco Bell, most disgusting tacos ever seen. But did you notice what else is on that plate? There was lunchable lunch meat, like the little rounds
there
of
was?
Turkey. Yes.
What?
It was, it what? Was, I will say I loved Lunchables as a child. Love a good salty preservative food, preservative rich food. I was just like, this is so disgusting. And like that food must've been sitting around for a long time. And just like whatever PA assembled that plate, it was absolutely horrid. So gross.
God bless them. Well, that is okay, well, here's the thing. I only really like, if we're talking Lunchables, I really only like the pizza ones, which are
after my time. I'm too
disgusting.
Old for that.
Oh,
I never had it.
Okay, well, that makes me sad. But you should try it. But that is, I don't. Oh my God, that is weird. Do you think those tacos are actually from Taco Bell?
No,
though,
zero chance. No way. No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Although, you know, let's while we're here, let's look up where the closest Taco Bell is to that resort. You know. I mean, we can easily find this out. I actually love Taco Bell. It's a true story.
Oh, David, my God. Me too.
David Jacoby and I once did a podcast with Stassi Schroeder that we never released.
Wow. Oh, my God.
In which we ate Taco Bell with her. But it was
fun.
It was really bad. So we never released it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez.
It's okay. I appreciate that, though. Okay. Let's see where the nearest Taco Bell is. Wow, there's a Taco Bell really close to the resort. So maybe it was.
Maybe.
Huh. Maybe I have to take it back. It's only an 11-minute drive, 4.5 miles from the resort to the nearest Taco Bell. So it's possible.
But I guess it is.
It just seems really unlikely to me.
Well, they probably have taco making supplies there. So why not just lie and say, yeah, it's from Taco Bell, but then make it in the kitchen at the resort, you know?
Also, wouldn't you kill for Taco Bell if you're trapped in that resort?
I already know my order. I would kill for
Taco Bell. What is it? Mine's a double-decker taco. And
oh, okay. Mine
crunch.
Is a Crunchwrap Supreme, a gordita, and then also I fucking love their Baja Blast. Like, it's just...
I've never had that.
Oh, you've never had a Baja Blast?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to need you to, like, stop this podcast, drive to the nearest Taco Bell and get a Baja Blast. Oh,
okay.
It's like
I'll do it for you, Amelia, and I'll report back.
Okay. The best Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Truly final note of the day, because this story just won't die. Sean Lowe says he's boycotting The Bachelorette over Chris Harrison's ouster. I find that weird because his wife, Catherine Lowe, was filling in on Bachelor Happy Hour. So like they're still kind of like in the mix. And, you know, he's supporting his guy. I also understand perhaps he has strong feelings about cancel culture, if that's what you think was happening here. But I think it's just a weird stance to take publicly. But I don't know. I'm ready to stop talking about this.
Yeah, me too. And also, Sean, like, no one cares about you anymore. I'm sorry.
Seriously,
like,
actually, that is true. No one cares about Sean Lowe anymore.
Like,
he's
literally
irrelevant.
We don't care. We don't know who you are. So just go away. Sorry, but go away.
I know. I was actually recently talking to some Bachelor people, some recent people from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And JoJo was referred to as like an OG season. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, JoJo was a few years ago. And then I realized time waits for no man or woman, including bachelor rehabbers like us. So it made me feel old.
So yeah, sorry if you were like older than 2017. I don't want to see you. I don't want to ever hear about you again.
Seriously, I feel like there was just a hard reset with the Hannah Brown season. And like everything before that, it's like old news. There was.
Oh, God. There was. Did you see she was on that stupid dating show? No,
I did. I'm not watching it. I don't consume any more Hannah content.
I mean, I don't like her.
Popular YouTube channel, though. So it seems.
Oh, okay. Good for her. I don't care. Like, what's the thing where it's like, I wish you the best. Like, I'm not going to read all that, but good luck. Or I'm sorry that happened. Like, that's
Amanda
how I feel.
And I say we wish you well on Jam Session.
Wish you well. There you go. That's how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel too. But yeah, it's like just a totally different era now of The Bachelor, I guess. No one seems to acknowledge Sean Lowe. And I'm going to continue because I think, whatever. Who cares?
Oh, agreed. Truly, who cares?
Who cares? All right, Amelia, for more with Amelia Wedemeyer, check her out on Tea Time on Ringer Dish. Of course, no Rosal Thorne on at Bachelor Party on our social media handles. Thank you to Kaya McMullen for producing this episode. I'll be back on Thursday with Callie Curry. We will be discussing The Bachelor, obviously, and of course, catching up on Below Deck Sailing Yacht, which we put off, and I can't wait. Talk to you then. Thanks so much for listening.